We are in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And I want to remind you that as we go through these historical books of the Old Testament, we are not looking at details. In an in-depth manner, we're taking chunks of chapters of these books, and our focus is on the individuals that are in the stories, which are true stories, and their relationship to the purpose of God. I have been emphasizing that God is a God of purpose. He doesn't behave aimlessly. And in his choice of Israel, as he chose Abraham in the Old Testament to be the father of many nations, and through Abraham came the nation Israel, there was a purpose for which God chose Israel. And through Israel, he wanted to demonstrate himself, his power, his person, to the nations around so that they too might believe. But Israel kept missing out on the purposes of God. And we draw many valuable lessons for our own lives. In this section, chapter 21 to 24, we're looking at David and how he has to keep running. And he's in much affliction, much trouble, very unsettled. There's a section of this passage we're going to be looking at how David seems to have forgotten the care of God on his life. That God is sufficient and can look after him and begins to try and look after himself. And we'll see that, especially in the first section. But then we see how he comes back to being under the care of God. So, in much affliction, in much trouble, very unsettled, cannot stay in one place, has to keep moving from place to place to escape from the anger and the sword of Saul. But because God has a purpose, he is safe and secure. So turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 21. And the first section we see David seeks to save himself. All the way from verse 1 of chapter 21 to verse 4 of chapter 22. In the first six verses, we have the record of David going to Nob. These are interesting names. Nob is a place. And there is the priest called Ahimelech who comes to meet David trembling and in fear because he has had, most probably heard rumors about the tension between Saul, the king, and David, this young warrior who has killed Goliath and who again and again is victorious over the Philistines. So he comes and asks him, why are you alone? And what does David do? David said to Ahimelech, the priest, that the king has given me a job to do, very special job. No one should know anything about it. And I'm in verse 2. What do you have? And Ahimelech tells him, there is no common bread, but there is holy bread. And he takes the bread from the priest, verse 6. And see what it says about the holy bread. For there was no bread there, but the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord to be replaced by hot bread on the day it is taken. Now when you look at that, you ask the question, is that the truth that David is speaking to Ahimelech? Comes and says, the king has sent me on a mission. Did the king send him on a mission? Certainly not. David is simply running away from the king. So we have Jesus referring to this, and if you look at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 4, Matthew chapter 12 verse 4. You can look for the context in the first few verses of chapter 12 of Matthew. The disciples are going with Jesus in the grain fields and they are plucking heads of grain to eat, and they look, the Pharisees look and see the disciples doing this, that which is not lawful on the Sabbath. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus refers to the episode we just read about. Chapter 12 of Matthew verse 3. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for him to eat, not for those who were with him, but only for the priests. And he talks about even the priests who profane the Sabbath by doing some other things. And what does Jesus say about this incident? He doesn't say anything to approve or disapprove this incident. I hope you notice that. Jesus is not saying David did right or wrong. What's he saying? He's really saying, referring to that incident and applying it to the things that are happening in his time, the disciples are breaking the Sabbath to eat food. Jesus is saying what? The Sabbath is made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And verse 7 is important. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. So the eating of the bread by David is not something that is necessarily wrong. David broke a man-made rule which was given to Israel in the temple disciplines, but he definitely lied to Ahimelech saying, I am here on a secret mission for King Saul. What's he doing? Look further in verse 7 to 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 21. The other references in Mark 2 and Luke 6 are the same incidents which Jesus refers to. But now looking at chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, verse 7 to 9, we have this, a certain man of the servants of Saul, what's his name? Doeg. You can call him whatever you want, but he was pretty nasty. The Edomite, chief of Saul's herdsmen, was there. He was there. The verse just, by the way, mentioned, but keep that in mind as we move on. And David said to Ahimelech, then have you not here a spear or a sword at hand? For I have nothing, and I need it for the king's business. So the priest gives him what? The sword of Goliath. So not only does David lie about a mission, but he also gets the sword of Goliath. So he equips himself. And then what? He moves to Achish. Chapter 21, verse 10 to 15. David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. This is an interesting episode. Another true episode in the life of David as he keeps running away from Saul. And the servants of Achish said to him, Is not this David the king of the land? You have to know that there were news. There was news being spread all across the nations about David. Ahimelech had not fully heard everything. But apparently this king of Gath, a pagan king, had heard that he is the king of the land. Did they not sing to one another of David in dances? Saul has struck his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And David heard this, and see what he does. He was afraid of Achish. Is that normal? Is that all right to be afraid of a king who doesn't really have any alliance with you? You're a foreigner in his land. He knows you're a Hebrew who's going to be king, and he's soon going to most probably find out that you are an escapee from your king, Saul. So what does David do? Verse 13, David changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane. Now this word insane means totally stark raving mad. And you have to understand, David is very, very cunning, very, very clever, very, very intelligent. And he's a good actor. And he really gets away with it. See what happens. He made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spit run down his beard. Now this is David, whom God has chosen. But he is helping himself. Do you notice it? He's helping himself to escape from Achish. And so, as he does this, scratches the gates and jumps around like a mad animal and lets his spit come into his beard and, you know, what else? Who knows? You know, Achish looks at him and says, this guy is king of Israel? You know, I mean, he's stark raving mad. Don't I have enough madmen in my country that you brought me another madman? That's all it says in this passage. And you read these stories and you think, well, that's it. Clever man. I mean, he escaped. Chapter 22, he departs and comes from there to the cave of Adullam. And his family hears of this. And what happens? Everyone who was in trouble, including his own family, everyone in distress, verse 2 of chapter 22, everyone who was in debt, you got to figure this one out. You know, everyone in trouble, everyone in distress, everyone in debt. How many of you have debts, EMIs? You know what it means to be in debt? And in those days, in debt, you didn't have a comfortable EMI, you know, where you paid post-dated checks. Those people came post-dated to you or pre-dated to you to catch you and try and get their money back. So everyone who had all this problem and everyone who was bitter in soul, you know what bitter in soul means? Grumbling, murmuring, they had all the problems in the world and no one to help them. They all came to David. So here's David. He is running for his life, and everybody who's running for their life come and join him and say, you are our Guruji. You are our protection. Help us. So I have enough problems of my own, and I have everybody else's problem. That's David's situation. And he became commander over them, and there were with him how many? 400 men. And he goes from there to Mizpeh of Moab. And he says to the king of Moab, please take care of my mother and father. And he left them there. And they stayed there, and David stayed in Adullam. And then the prophet Gad came to him and told him, do not stay here. Do not remain in the stronghold where in verse 5. Depart, go into the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Herath. Are you seeing him? He's constantly going. And half the time he's taking care of himself by his own cunning. This is the situation he is in. And you wonder, why is there no comment? What's happening in David's mind? To understand that, you turn to Psalm 34. David wrote a psalm during this time. Did you know he did? David didn't write all the psalms, by the way. He didn't write all the psalms. Others also wrote the psalms. David didn't write all the psalms when he was looking after sheep. Some of the psalms he wrote when he was in different situations. And he wrote at least one psalm when he was acting like a madman and trying to help himself. And then he came to his senses and realized, why am I helping myself when I have God who can help me? And see what he writes in Psalm 34. It's a great psalm. And if you look at the beginning of that psalm, it says, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away, I will bless the Lord at all times. Should be Achish, the king of Gath. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. The humble hear and be glad. Something happened in Gath where he acted like a madman. And then something happened when he went to the cave of Adullam. And all the people with burdens and headaches and problems came and joined him. Because he says, my soul makes the boast, his boast in the Lord. The humble, the troubled hear and are glad. So come, all who are in trouble, join this merry gang of useless, helpless, riffraff, nobodies. The humble, hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Because why? Look at the next verse. I sought the Lord and he heard me. Delivered me from all my fears. Was I afraid? The Lord delivered me. When I acted really stupid, I tried to save myself and protect myself, but really I need the Lord. And he heard me when I cried to him. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces will never be ashamed. I mean, I know what I went through, acting the idiot. I know what I'm going through, running, running, running. And the Saul is after me. But when I look to the Lord, I'm radiant. My face will never be ashamed. I don't have to be embarrassed about trusting and resting in the Lord. This poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Are you with me in this psalm? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. For those who, blessed is the man who take refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions do lack and want and hunger. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Let not one of them is broken. Turn to Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. See, the Lord is gracious. Verse 5. Verse 6, the Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return my soul to your rest. He exhorts himself. Look at that verse 7. Return, O my soul, to your rest. You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. What shall I render, verse 12, to the Lord? For all his benefits to me, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Fantastic psalms that came out of the anguish of affliction. We read what he did for his parents, and how all the people came to him. Turn to Psalm 142. It says, this is a prayer that he prayed in that cave of Adullam. Does it say that? With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before God. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way in the path where I walk. They have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for me. I cry to you, O God. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, Lord, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. I mean, can you see the anguish? And can you take heart? What are you going through? How much are you in pain and suffering? What's the burden you're carrying? Psalm 142. No one cares. Lord, I look around. There's nobody really. And everywhere there seems to be only a trap and problems and difficulties. No escape for me. Lord, I cry to you. You are my refuge. Great passage to read together with the Psalms. And so he has to leave. In chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, there's where we go back. Verse 5. Go to Judah. David tried to save himself, but he had to come back to the Lord again and again. In the Psalms, He reveals that he came back to the Lord again and again. He was a man after God's own heart. Chapter 22, 1 Samuel, verse 6 to 23, we look at Saul. He seeks to slaughter David. It's a continuous campaign. He never rests. He seems to get over it sometimes, temporarily, but he is constantly after David. Verse 6 to 8 of chapter 22, what happens? Saul heard that David was discovered. And the men who were with him, Saul was sitting at Gibeah, the tamarisk tree or the tamarind tree, eating sins. And see what Saul does. 6 to 8. Saul tells all his followers, his servants, "Hear now, people of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? No one discloses to me. When my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse, none of you is sorry for me or discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait at said this day." What is Saul doing? He's really crying and complaining. Everybody is against me. My son is against me. No one tells me when my son conspires against me and becomes related to David with a covenant. Is David going to prosper you? In fact, what Saul is saying is, follow me, I will make you great. Why are you going after David? Why are you all against me? And then what happens? Remember that man, Dog, or Doeg. Verse 9 and 10 of chapter 22. He comes. He stood with the servants of Saul and said, "I saw David." And he tells him everything about what David did with Ahimelech. Took the sword of Goliath, took the bread, and how Ahimelech even prophesied for David and helped David to know the mind of God. And what does Saul do? After Doeg informs him in verse 9 and 10, Saul summons and indicts Ahimelech the priest. Look at it in verses 11 to 13 and see how absolutely deadly against David King Saul is. He calls Ahimelech. Verse 11, chapter 22. And he calls all his father's house and the priests, all the priests of Nob. And they all came, verse 11. Verse 12. They're standing in attendance before Saul. Verse 13. Saul accuses them. Why have you conspired against me? Why did you help him with bread? Why did you give him the sword of Goliath? Why did you inquire of the Lord for him? And Ahimelech responds, verse 14. Who is better than David? Who loves you more? Who protects you more? Who is most honored in your house but David? Saul, you made David great. And I am not doing this service for David to inquire of the Lord for the first time. And I'm not doing anything in secret. That's what he says in verse 15. But what does he say? What does Saul say in verse 16? You and all your father's house will die. And he turns to the guard, and you have to notice this. Verse 17, Saul tells his guard, kill Ahimelech and all the priests. Do the guards do that? Do his servants do that? They refuse to listen to Saul. And you have to wonder why Saul can't see the reality. That not only has the Lord and his spirit departed from Saul, but even the people have actually left him in their hearts. You can get to a point in your life when you are so bound in your own self and your own sin that you don't care anymore to see the writing on the wall. You don't get the message and you don't repent. You're just determined to do your will and to heck with God and his purposes. And so he calls Doeg and he says, "Hey, Doeg, kill them all." And Doeg does exactly that. In verse 19, Nob, the city of the priests, he put to the sword. Both man and woman, child and infant, ox, donkey, and sheep, he put to the sword. They're all killed. Even though Ahimelech had pleaded innocence, even though none of Saul's servants or guards were willing to kill the priests, he finds Doeg to do it. But one man escapes. Verse 20 to 23, Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, he escapes. Verse 20 to 23. And he fled to David. And he tells in verse 21, David, that Saul had killed all the priests of the Lord. And David said, "I knew it when I had seen Doeg in the temple when I was with your father. And it's my fault. But now stay with me." Verse 23. "Don't be afraid. The one who seeks my life seeks your life, and you will be safe with me." I like David because you see chinks in him of self-confidence. The trickster, he's able to fool Ahimelech and he's able to fool Achish. But very soon, because he's soft towards God, the Psalms reveal, Psalm 116, Psalm 34, Psalm 142, reveal what? That he really cries to the Lord and the Lord sustains him. But I also admire David for this, that he is willing to be the refuge for all the needy. You know, beggars, distress, you know, the riffraff, the ones in debt, and now Abiathar. "Come, I'll protect you." And I think the driving force of his life is this, that God is with him. It's a very simple truth. As we look at the last two chapters that we are considering this morning, chapter 23 and 24, we're going to see again and again, David seeks the Lord. David seeks the Lord and God keeps protecting him. Chapter 23, verse 1 to chapter 24, verse 22. The first five verses of 23, they told David, Philistines are fighting in Keilah. So what does David do? What does David do? They come and tell him, the Philistines are attacking. What does David do? The next verse, David prays to God. "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord says, "Go." It's very interesting. Verse 3, David's men Say what? We are afraid in Judah. Judah is our country. Now you want us to go to Kaila, which is not our country. Philistine country. We will be more afraid there against the armies of the Philistines. What does David do? Verse 4. David inquired of the Lord again. And the Lord answers, go. I will give you the Philistines. You know, you might skip this. That twice in verses 1 to 5, David inquires of the Lord. But I see a very simple truth here. Keep going back to the Lord. Keep going back to the Lord. Your people may be doubtful. Your people may be unwilling. What's the best way to sort out the problem? You have already asked the Lord. David could easily have said, hey, I've already prayed about it. I've already decided with God. This is God's will. No, no, no. The people are doubtful. The people are afraid. He says, okay, I'm going to ask the Lord again. Does the Lord get fed up? We get fed up of praying. How many times in our families, when we have a problem, do we say, okay, let's just pray. Let's ask the Lord. Very simple truth, right? Very simple exercise, right? It can even be just routine, but if it is real, it shows a total dependence on God. Are we willing to do that in simple things of daily life? Go again and again. Say to one another in your families. And we should say to one another in our church, let's inquire of the Lord. Let's pray. Let's see what God wants us to do. So that all of us are in the security of the leading of God. God wants it. There's unity in this way. And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their livestock and struck them with a great blow. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. This has nothing to do with Saul and David right now. This is just David. In the time of distress, he hears there's a town there and the Philistines are robbing them. God, should I go? Go. People say, David, no. This doesn't look good. Strategically bad. We're afraid here. In our own country, we'll be more afraid there. Lord, should we go? Go. There's victory. David seeks the Lord and wins the victory. 6 to 13. What happens? Abiathar had fled to David and he had come with an ephod in his hand. In those days, they had this part of the priestly dress to pray to God. And they had the Thummim and the Ummim. And you can go through the Old Testament to find out how they used it to pray to God. But Saul is told that David had come to Keilah. And Saul says, great, now he's trapped. See, now he's trapped. For he has shut himself, says Saul, in verse 7, in by entering a town that has gates and bars. David's a fool, according to Saul. See, he didn't realize in going and attacking the Philistines in Keilah and saving Keilah, he has locked himself up in a town that has gates and bars, like Shaniwarwada. You're locked up. And so Saul calls all his people to war, and they go down to Keilah and besiege David and his men. Now what? Go back to those Psalms. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. The Lord encamps about those who fear him. You've got to understand this situation here, because he is locked in. The gates are shut. Saul besieges him. What's going to happen? David knew that Saul was plotting against him. Verse 9. And he says, Abiathar, you've got to pray. Seek the Lord. And David prays, O Lord, verse 10, the God of Israel, your servant has surely heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. And all these people will be killed. And will these people surrender me for their own sakes, you know, to save themselves? Will they surrender me into Saul's hand? Lord, God of Israel, please tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. That's not a good answer, right? God, I wish you had said, no, he won't. Or you told me how you will plan the escape. But God says he'll come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. Oh no, this is getting worse. Does God hear and answer prayer? He does. His way. Will Saul come? Yes. Will these people hand you over to Saul? Yes. Then David and his men, who were about 600, departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the expedition. Interesting. David just escaped. I don't know how. But I know this, that he asked the Lord. And the Lord told him, yeah, you know, you're going to be caught. So what's the best thing to do? Get out. And he went. And verse 14, David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph, and Saul sought him every day. But God did not give him into his hand. This is hide and seek. This is every day. This is going on and on. What a way to live. And the question that comes to me is, if Saul is the king, shouldn't he be worried about his kingdom? All he's thinking about is, I need to catch David and kill David. I need to catch David and kill David. So the whole country, the whole government of Saul is just focused on this distraction. And David keeps escaping. Verse 16, David has gone from one to another place and person. Now where does he go? Verse 16. David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. Very encouraging. Do you remember all that we read about Jonathan and David's friendship? He gave him his robe. He gave him his sword, his armor. He said, my soul is knit with your soul. And when Jonathan hears about David, what does he do? Let's read verse 16 again. Another simple verse that should encourage us to do something about our relationships with one another. Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. Will you do that for one another? Is this what you need to do for one another as fellow believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now you have to understand Jonathan is whose son? King Saul's. King Saul already knows Jonathan, my son, is helping David, my enemy. And he has already tried once to kill his own son, Jonathan. So Jonathan is risking his life to go to David in Ziph and Horash and strengthen his hand in God. Don't you love that phrase? To strengthen David's hand in God. Don't encourage one another just by human encouragement. You can give money. You can provide a job. You can put a hand on the shoulder. You can give a handkerchief and say, don't cry. I'll wipe away your tears. But you must bring God into your relationship to encourage and strengthen one another. It has to be God. And see what he says about God. Verse 17. Jonathan said to David, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David remained at Horesh, and Jonathan went home. You know the words of Jonathan? Discerning the mind of God. God will make you king. This is God's will. That won't change. Even though my father, the king, seeks to kill you, he will not find you. So, Jonathan encourages David. God used Jonathan. Verse 19 to 29, the next 11 verses, God is a rock of escape for David. Look at that passage. The Ziphites went to Saul. And what do the Ziphites do? In the next few verses, they get into an agreement with Saul to make doubly sure that they are able to catch David for Saul and hand over David to Saul. That's what they say. Verse 22, go and make yet more sure. Know and see the place where his foot is and who has seen him there. For it is told me that he is very cunning. Now let's make sure we can catch him. What happens? David and his men were in the wilderness at Maon in the Arabah, the south of Jeshimon. Saul and his men went to seek him. David was told, so he went down to the rock and lived in the wilderness. Saul heard it. He pursued David in the wilderness. Saul went on one side of the mountain, David and his men on the other side of the mountain. This is like cat and mouse, right? David was hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul on his... This is fascinating, you know, because God is working his purpose out. As Saul, I'm in the middle of verse 26, as Saul and his men were closing in on David and his men to capture them, what happens? A messenger came to Saul saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid against the land. So Saul had to go back. I mean, so much preparation, all right? It's gone. David escapes again. Why? There's only one answer. God. God decided David will be king. Will that fail? What has God decided about you? Do you know? Hold on to that and live for that purpose. It'll never fail. So we come to chapter 24. The first three verses. This is En Gedi. 3,000 chosen men out of Israel. Now these are handpicked, right? special forces. These are people who are committed not only to battle but to catch David in front of the wild goat's rock. Sorry, I have to go back to the previous chapter, because you see in verse 28 of chapter 23, Saul returned and from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore, that place was called the Rock of Escape. Reminds me of the hymn, right? Rock of Ages, cleft for me. All right, 24. In En-Gedi. And David is in this wild goat's rocks in verse 2 of chapter 24. And he came to the sheepfolds, by the way, where there was a cave. And Saul went to do what nobody else can do for you. All right? Went to relieve himself. Funny story. David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. They're right there. And Saul is doing his work. And what happens? David The men say to David, David's men, all right? Here is the day of which the Lord said to you. I mean, I think they're making this up, right? You know how Christians are? We say, you know, the Lord, always. So these men of David say, hey, this is the day which the Lord said to you that you will be given your enemy in your hand. You see that in verse 4? And you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you. Then David arose and stealthily, see what David does. Here is Saul at work, right? David goes and cuts his little bit of his robe. Saul doesn't even know. And what does David say? The followers of David say, this is the chance. God is giving you what he promised you, that your enemy will be delivered into your hand. What does David do? Just cuts Saul's bit of his garment, and then he says to his people, the Lord forbid, verse 6, that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose and left the cave and went his way. And what happens? David doesn't let go. David rose and went out and called after Saul. Hey, my Lord the king. He respects Saul. Even though Saul hates him and wants to kill him, and he's been running away from Saul, and God seems to have given Saul over to him, David doesn't kill him, but respectfully tells him, Saul, why do you listen, verse 9, to the words of men who say, behold, David seeks your harm. Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not put my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. See my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. And he says, see, I could have killed you. Look at your robe, it's cut, and I have the piece in my hand. I cut it. I was so close to you, I could have killed you. Saul, why are you believing people who are telling you lies? Verse 14. We'll read verse 13 as well. As the proverb of the ancients say, out of the wicked comes wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog? After a fly? May the Lord be therefore judge and give sentence between me and you, and see to it and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand. And what does Saul do? Saul has this immediate response of superficial repentance. Many are good at this kind of repentance. You know, as soon as you tell them, you know, you did wrong. Yeah, yeah, yes, yes, I've done wrong. And I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And Saul does that. And he says, is this your voice, my son David? Verse 16. He said to David, verse 17, you are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil. You could have killed me, but you did not. And he makes a great speech. And he goes. But later on, he'll come back. That's the story of chapters 21, 22, 23, 24. Plenty to cull out and see. And I hope you go through those Psalms. What numbers? Psalm 34, Psalm 116, Psalm 142. In much affliction, running for your life, under great pressure cooker problems, seek the Lord, trust in Him, and find in Him your salvation. Our Father, we thank you so much for the simplicity of your word, and we pray we won't miss it in its simplicity, but that we might be energized to seek you. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And we thank you that you can use us to help many other poor and needy people like ourselves as we reach out and embrace them and become their refuge. Help us also to learn from David and Jonathan, Lord, to strengthen one another in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.